It's time to talk Sabres hockey. Big changes at KeyBank Center. Let's hear all about it. Coach Lindy Ruff is being brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By Catholic Health. And by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. Now, with head coach Lindy Ruff, here's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Jeremy and Joe on the Western Hotline is Lindy Ruff, who I think will be our first ever guest from Prague. Lindy, good morning.
Morning, Jeremy. Joe, how are you guys?
We're all right.
We're good. Yeah.
It's nice here. Nice fall day. How's Prague?
Prague is a beautiful city. Weather today, a little overcast, a little bit of rain, but absolutely stunning, some of the architecture here.
Yeah. How about this whole trip in general? I mean, you guys, of course, with the game against Red Bull and just being over there for a little bit of time, it's a very different preseason format. The Sabres, I mean, prospects and AHLers have been playing here while the big team's over there. How have you enjoyed this process?
I've liked the process. Obviously, we've done it one other time. We came over here and played in, I think it was Helsinki in Berlin, had the team together and got off to a good start that season. I look at this, camp, we were able to get two real good practice days in before we left for Munich, and that was with the whole group. Three different groups practicing, three different groups seeing the same video for 2 days. The practice and the system stuff we went through in day one and day two, I think, has gone over well with both groups, the group that's been playing back there and the group that's been playing here. And practices have been really upbeat. The tempo has been great. I've really liked what I've seen so far.
You mentioned you did this before. Is there any challenge in getting these games to feel like the start of the season? I mean, if you're at home, you've got your home crowd. If you're on the road, same thing. Like, you've got the big full NHL building, and these buildings will be full, and you have lots of fans there. But of course, it is very different. Is there any way to, I guess, combat that? Is that an issue at all?
I don't believe that's an issue. All I know is the players. You could even feel today that the closer we're getting to playing a meaningful game, the energy level was real high at practice. I thought all the drills we did were crisp. Passing was good. And I don't know if the crowd is really going to play a factor, whether you're home or road team. I think this group as a whole is just really ready to get at it.
Yeah, neutral, right, it'll be kind of a neutral crowd, basically. Going back lastly on the experience in Munich, specifically for J.J. Paterka, one, the game, and then two, I don't know, was he like basically playing host for everybody else because it's his hometown?
I think he did a pretty good part of hosting and letting guys know, kind of the lay of the land. I thought it was a great trip for him. I mean, a good game. A little disappointed in the second period when he had an opportunity to shoot one in the empty net on the power play, and he missed. I was hoping he would get another opportunity, and he got one in the third and scored. And I think for a young man playing in his hometown, to be able to play on that stage and win a hockey game, it was awesome for him. And I was happy to see him have the success he did.
Lindy, what about him in general? He took a big step last year as a player, and I do think he's one guy that Sabre fans are wondering, like, is there another step there? Because it does appear when you watch him, just the full complement of the tools he has, that, you know, the offensive upside could be even higher than what we've seen already.
Yeah, I think you're describing it right, that he took a step in the right direction last year. I don't think anybody really knows what the ceiling is. I've liked his camp. Obviously, he's scored a few goals. He's been in on a lot of really good plays. So I think as this unfolds, we could obviously see the ceiling go up for JJ pretty easily.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff joining us on the Western Hotline. Lindy, how about the entire team? Like, as you came in and took the job and had a team that's got a lot of returning pieces, but you know, some players you know you would have coached against. But what were you looking to learn about this group, and what have you learned about the group that you have to start?
Really, just to figure out the drive this team would have, and I've really liked it so far. We've gone through some very challenging practices, not overly long, but drills that have challenged them physically, up and down the ice that push them to their max in, you know, maybe a 50-55 minute type of practice. And I think the response was real good. I think that we were able to finish all those drills, finish the drills with energy. And then look at the areas that we needed to improve in. We set forth from day one to improve those areas. And I think the guys have wrapped their arms around the opportunity to be better defensively, take away more rush chances. We identified 5-6 areas that we really think we can continue to get better through practice and through every game we play.
Top of your head, what are some of those rush chances against? A power play? I mean, what's the list?
Yeah, face-off, rush chances, ozone play, and what we call dirty goals, getting around the front of the net, tip goals, rebound goals. And we've already seen some of those. I think you look at JJ, I think his first two were tip goals. We had two or three crossbars last game with just somebody around the front of the net screening the goaltender that could have easily gone in. For me, these are all just one percenters. Let's get a little bit better here, a little bit better there. I think when you identify faceoff, we're one of the worst teams in faceoff percentage last year with what I look at, like that we have some real big men in the faceoff dot, and it doesn't solely fall on the shoulders of the centerman. You look at after the puck is dropped, there's a 50-50 puck there, and if a winger can help out, that's a win. And if he doesn't get there or loses that battle, it's a loss. So identifying the areas that we can continue to get better. And through the preseason, faceoff percentage has gone way up. You look at dirty goals, has gone up. And, the rush chances against one of our goaltenders, we've kept them to a minimum. I think the tracking back and getting above people and making sure we have numbers back has been real good. And that goes hand in hand with trying to take shorter shifts. Cut the shift length down to 35-40 seconds and just try to create a track meet going up and down the ice, because I think we're a great skating hockey club.
How important to you is also just physicality in general? Because, Lindy, it seemed like, especially the first couple games, if I can go back a couple weeks here, it felt like everybody was throwing their weight around. And for a preseason game, maybe in your experience, preseason games, guys would, play close to what a regular season game would be. But it was stark to me that, like, right out of the gates, it felt like everybody was kind of throwing their weight around, whether they're on the forecheck or just along the wall.
Well, really important for our club to have that mentality to slow the opposition down. And that is everybody that throws the jersey on, that we want you to get into people. We want you to slow people down. If you're forechecking and you put somebody in the wall, then, those first two or three strides, he's way behind trying to join the rush. If you're going through the neutral zone and we can get above people and bump them before they're dumping it in, then they've got to restart before they get on top of our defense. If our defense have an extra second, I'll guarantee you that our breakout plays will be a lot more efficient with the speed we can go back with. So being physical is going to be a big part of our hockey game.
Rasmus Dahlin named the captain. How have you come to know his game, his mentality, his approach through these first couple of weeks, couple months?
For me, actions, speak volumes when I'm around Rasmus. The way he prepares, the way he practices, the way he gets involved in meetings, the questions he asks about what are we going to do in this situation, that situation. And then lastly, the amount he cares about the team and his teammates. I really don't think, and not knowing him probably as well as people in the organization, but my short time with him and all the people around him, it seemed like a really easy choice to have him lead this group. And I think if you asked a teammate, they would all agree.
Other players that you're maybe learning more and more about as this camp and this preseason wraps up here, Lindy, what about Zach Benson? Maybe getting a top six opportunity. He's been skating with Cousins. For his age, I guess, how much did you already kind of expect out of him, and how has that morphed, I guess, since you've been watching him at practice for the last couple weeks?
Well, you hear a lot of great things and watched a good part of a lot of his games and recognize that there's a lot of great detail to his game. You know, if you put size aside, he's one of the better players to get around net front. He's a small ice player. I don't know if we have a better small ice player that can make plays in the small area than Zach, and that's just watching him in practice and watching him through these preseason games. He is a guy that gets on the right side of the puck all the time, can make plays. He knows what the next play is before he gets there, and that's a quality that's sometimes hard to find.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff ahead of the two opening games in Prague against the New Jersey Devils.
Is it, I don't know how I would want to even phrase this question. Is it in your mind at all, I guess, that these first two games are against your former team that you were coaching last year and the year before?
I'd have to say yes. I mean, it feels uncomfortable that, you know, you have to play the guys that you really like coaching. A great group of guys and a group that, you know, we had to grow through the first couple of years, had an incredible year in year three, you know, struggled through a lot of injuries to a lot of top people last year. But it is a group that I have a lot of admiration for. So to go out and have to coach the first couple of games against them, you know, we're here to win hockey games. They're here to win hockey games, and I think we all know how important the start is. So you kind of got to put that aside. You know, I've got the scouting report on them because I know 80% of them really well, and we need a win on game one.
You'll have two fans in attendance, Jaro Spacek and Aleš Kodalík,
yes.
Two of your former players that saw the Sabres tweet out. They'll both be there.
Is that going to be a reunion? Has it been like years and years since you've talked to them, or more recently?
Yeah, you know, I have not. It'll be great to see them. You know, a lot of great memories of those two players and two different personalities, and you know, just sort of remembering that Campbell Spacek, that duo that we used a lot together, and the shot that Aleš Kodalík had, and you know, some of the moves. I think his forehand, backhand, you know, move going in on the goaltenders will always stick in my mind. So, be great to see these guys. I'm glad they're coming. You know, anytime you have an opportunity, whether it's somebody you played with formerly or somebody you coached, it's always great to see them.
Before we let you go, can't talk without asking about goalies and how you might handle the two of them, mm-hmm. UPL and Devin Levi, through the season. You know, I know Paul will ask you every game who's going to play. but, you know, in terms of, is there a set plan? Is it to see how things go? I mean, UPL did an awful lot last year to establish himself, and Levi, of course, in Rochester, has been one of the best goalies in all of the AHL. So have an idea of how you might handle that going in, or is it very much open to whatever happens?
You know, we do have an idea. I think it's an extremely tough question to answer because it will be, you know, respect for how last season went and how these goalies have come along. And then you look at the schedule, knowing that this league is almost turned into a two-man or a two-goaltending type of team where you need both goaltenders to win your hockey games. And it's hard if you're playing one guy exclusively and the guy has to step in once every seven or eight games. I think we know that both these guys can win games. Both these guys can dominate games. We've seen them do them. I think Devin's a young man that's just starting his career, that great work ethic, great practice habits. And I really feel if we take away some of the high percentage chances, I really want to see what their game has looked like. The fact that You know, we gave up three our first game. We gave up two. We played a real tight game, the game in Munich. Bodes well for our goaltender. So I don't really have a definitive answer. I know that we are going to use them both. It's never going to be an even split, but we do need both goaltenders to win us hockey games for sure.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff as the Sabres open the season Friday in Prague. Lindy, thanks, and we'll chat again next week.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right.
Thanks, Lindy.
Lindy. I'll ask him about being back in the arena. Figured we can ask that next week because that's when, you know, by the time they get back, and then it's a home game against the Kings.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they don't have jet lag by then.
No.
That's 4 days later? 5 days later?
Yeah. They come back on Saturday after the game, you'd think,
yeah.
Or Sunday, and then they play on Friday against the Kings.
I'm excited for a 10 a.m. Saturday Sabre game also,
yes.
By the way. I'm into that. Two back-to-back morning sports, because then you have Jets and Vikings at 9 a.m. on Sunday.
Will Devontae Adams be on the Jets by then? I'll save that for a minute.
By Sunday.
On the Sabres, though. I wonder how long it'll be until it's not weird to hear Lindy talking about the Sabres. How long will it be? By, like, October 15th?
It was less weird for me hearing him talk about Kota Leak.
Right.
It's like I was listening to him in a press conference, yeah, in, like, 2008. It's still weird.
Yeah, go beat the Devils, right?
It is still weird.
Let's see.
Revenge games for him.
Revenge game for him.
You know, I mean, he even kind of put words to it. Like, you can, even from outside his perspective, he got fired because the goalies got hurt last year.
Yeah.
He would still be the Devils coach. And then who knows where the Sabres would be, right?
Right.
Like, if the Devils' goalies don't get hurt, the Sabres don't have Lindy Ruff as their head coach.
Right, and I wonder if they have a new head coach. Because,
oh, you think they might have just kept going?
Very possible. The whole, I mean, maybe it's Seth Appert in that role. Maybe.
What would the attitude be right now if they had just kept going?
It would probably not be as optimistic. I mean,
it would feel like this team just is total inaction, right?
Yeah.
It would feel like they just don't care. That's how I think it would come off. I'm not saying that's how they think. That is how fans would take it.
That's probably right. And should I say optimism? Is there optimism? People, I think, are open to optimism. I mean, Lindy is a good coach. He's been a good coach everywhere he's gone.
Yeah.
He's had success. Maybe he brought his welcome here for you out there listening after so many years. And then he went to Dallas and he won. And you're like, oh, okay, maybe he can coach. And then he left there and went to New Jersey and he won.
Yeah.
I mean, not like cups and everything, but produced playoff appearances.
Yeah, and there were bad years mixed in there too. But
yep,
right, both stops he went to. He had not just teams that, like, squeaked into the playoffs either. Like, in both stops, he had teams that were great.
Right. How different,
like,
is it?
Like, 100-point-plus seasons.
How different is it than hiring, like, Bruce Boudreau? Right? A guy that, if you hired Berube, who won a cup with St. Louis, right? Maybe that's different. A cup winner is a different, like, it's on your resume forever.
Sure.
But a coach that has gone to three or four spots and produced results in three or four spots, and if we're being real about it, too, I mean, we don't talk about it like this. Lindy making the playoffs with how many different versions of the Sabres? Three different versions of the Sabres?
He made
there's
it with
the Hasek Sabres. There's
the run-and-gun post-lockout.
Post-lockout. And then there's, like, the Tyler Myers, Miller.
Miller's the Vezina winner.
Yeah. Those are three. I know that those two teams are a little closer together. But if you make the playoffs with the Sabres in 1999 and then with the Sabres in 2007, those are actually two different teams. They just wear the same shirts.
That was a point I made
a lot.
Although
maybe they didn't wear the same shirts now that I'm thinking about it. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. That was a point I made a lot when they hired him, was even though those two teams were close together, they played drastically different. Right? The 06 and 07, they are trying to outscore you. Are they not? They were leading the league in goals. They maybe were even record-breaking at the time for goals. And then how did that Miller team make it? They didn't score goals at all. Mike Greer might have been their leading scorer in a playoff series, wasn't he?
Oof.
When he came back? Didn't he have a Bruin series? Vanek got hurt. He would have been the guy. But anyways, you get the point. Like, three different times, he did three different types of teams, and he kept switching to whatever his team was good at. And I feel like that's a good trait to have in a head coach. The thing is, though, I don't know what this team's strength is right now. I think it's their blue line. Like, I look at their blue line and think, man, there is potential on there. And combine that with your two goaltenders, like, I think that could really be it. More than even the scoring. Like, to me, that is the biggest question mark for me, is are they going to score enough goals last year? Because they didn't last year, and if anything, they subtracted offensively, not progressed in that way. Well, you would hope that it's internal progression. But they didn't go outside and add proven goal scorers. They took away a proven goal scorer and replaced him with a guy who was a healthy scratch in the bottom six in Arizona last year.
Yeah. Well, as we asked him the five or six things we keyed in on that we wanted to get better at, what are your five? He mentioned faceoffs, dirty goals,
yep,
power play, rush chances against.
Power play could just be it, by the way.
Right, if they had a power, functioning power play would have gone a long way last year.
They could get no better at scoring goals at 5-on-5 this year if their blue line and goaltending is pretty good and they have a good power play. That might be all you need.
Yeah,
their power play was killing them last year. They have like brand new units, by the way. Like Paterka and Quinn are on the top unit. Like, I guess those are the two that you're hoping. Just Can we input those two into that unit and just get something going? Cousins isn't on it right now. And Skinner's not on it, obviously, because he's on the team. So there's personnel change and then there's coaching change. I still, though, have not seen anybody project them to make the playoffs. Everyone says close, right? I feel like no one has them below like 85 points. I don't know that I've seen, maybe it's out there. Is there a writer out there? Is there a podcaster? Who's got the Sabres in the playoffs right now? Anybody?
No, not that I've seen. You want to entertain the idea of a curse being lifted?
A curse being lifted.
Yeah.
There's not many curses left, right?
We could refer to the Sabres drought as the international drought, potentially.
The international drought?
Yeah. Do you know when the drought started?
Are you about to tell me it's when they went to Sweden?
Yep.
It's kind of a lame curse, though, isn't it?
When they went to Helsinki, when he talked about that trip.
Uh-huh. How many people remembered, though, that they went to Helsinki before, like,
They went in between. They went to Sweden also. They've been overseas. But the first time they went, when he's talking about that last trip, when they went to Helsinki and Leino scored and Luke Adams scored, that's the first team that missed the playoffs of the drought.
I can't believe that. Leino and Adam were the goal scorers in the drought.
Two of them.
In the drought.
So it's the global series drought is what we'll call it from now on.
Well, wouldn't that mean that this is when it ends?
Yes.
This is the year?
We'll forget the fact that they went over to Sweden once and be like, this is the one that undoes it all. Listen.
They're over under point total that year. Hockey Reference lists this now. They're over under in 11-12. So what is that? That's right after they signed Erhoff and... They trade for Regier, right, and Leino?
They make the playoffs the year before, and they lose to the Flyers on Easter Sunday.
I think it is like Erhoff.
And then Game 7.
Their over-under was 98.5 points that year.
And they've not touched that since.
No, 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 no.
Their high is what, 92, 91?
If that.
Two years ago, they got 92, I think.
As their over-under. And then the year before, they got that as the point total, I think.
All right.
That same season drought. In 2011, the Sabres won their other game overseas. The goal scorer, the winning goal, Paul Gostad.
Mm.
In the drought, Paul Gostad. I just need them to feel like they're in the NHL again. I watched the Red Bull Munich game, I know the arena and the European atmospheres are so different, but I'm just watching that arena going, that's a better experience.
Well... Here's what you need, and this is the lowest bar you could possibly have for them. They need to have last year's Red Wings season. The Red Wings missed.
Right, but they were in a spot all year.
All year they were in it and alive, and that doesn't mean I want them to miss. I need them to have Detroit's October through January. Just have that. Detroit October through January was, hey, look at the Red Wings. The Iser plan is coming together. And they weren't even really that good.
No.
But we knew.
But they were in a spot. They were in a spot all year.
They were literally, as simple as that. You could look at the standings and there'd be a three next to their name in the division.
You're saying that will feel that will be different than if they do what they did 2 years ago, which is they're hanging around all year and they make a little run at the end and miss by two.
I don't want it to be too much to ask to be looking at the standings in January and seeing that they are currently in a spot. Or even in December.
Didn't we figure this out a year or two ago? Like, how many days during the drought they've actually been in a spot?
And it's like two.
It's like two. It's two outside of the 10-game win streak.
The win streaks, right.
The win, but that's it. I don't even think it's win streaks. I think it's...
Well, there was a 10-game win streak. There was also like an 8-1-3.
Was there?
Under Kruger or something like that.
It all blends together now.
Yeah. Anyway, Sabres head coach Lenny Ruff, we thank him. We'll be chatting Sabres usually on Tuesdays as we get into hockey season, which starts on Friday. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
For me, actions speak volumes when I'm around Rasmus. The way he prepares, the way he practices, the way he gets involved in meetings, the questions he asks about what are we going to do in this situation, that situation. And then lastly, the amount he cares about the team and his teammates. And not knowing him probably as well as people in the organization, but my short time with him and, you know, all the people around him, it seemed like a really easy choice to have him lead this group. And I think if you asked a teammate, they would all agree.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff on Rasmus Dahlin. So Friday, the regular season begins in the NHL. Devils and Sabres.
Mm-hmm.
That same night, there are 8 preseason games.
Yeah, in the NHL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The regular season starts for these teams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At 1 p.m., you can watch Devils, Sabres, and then Columbus, Pittsburgh, Islanders, Rangers, Ottawa, all preseason.
Yeah.
I guess that's...
I think that's
probably unavoidable.
I think so.
Because they want to build in enough of a travel buffer for the Sabres and the Devils.
This happened in even more weirdly. Do you remember what happened at the beginning of this baseball season? Where the Dodgers went to go play a regular season game in Japan. Right? Otani going back home. They played a regular season game in Japan. And then later that week, they had spring training games. It's like they opened their regular season, then went back to spring training, which might even be weirder. So, yeah, I guess it's kind of unavoidable.
803-0550. So, some Sabres chatter. If you missed Lenny Ruff, you can go back and listen to that. We can get back into Devontae Adams as a conversation.
Yeah. Very quickly, though, before we get away from hockey, I have a fantasy hockey draft tonight, and I think it would be your favorite draft format ever because it's basically offer sheets.
Okay.
Kinda. Everybody has a whiteboard. It's a bidding system. You nominate a player. So you nominate McDavid. Now everybody else but you writes down their bid. And then on the count of three, everybody shows their bid. And whoever has the highest bidder, you win the bid. But now you, who didn't bid because you nominated him, you have the right to match that highest bid.
Interesting.
So you nominate McDavid. Everybody bids. Highest price, $400. Out of 1,000. Now everyone looks to Jeremy because he's going to decide if he wants to match the 400. You can either take him for yourself or you can give him to the guy who bid the highest.
Is the strategy there, is the best strategy to nominate players you like so you have the choice to take them, or nominate players you don't want so the money gets spent? Because that's what I do in auction drafts. In auction drafts, every single time, I nominate players I do not want.
Okay.
Get the money off the board, get positions filled.
It depends. I think in this format, you might nominate the guys you want. The nomination order is important because
it's
whoever,
the draft order, basically. It's everyone else is making offer sheets on your draft order.
Like whoever's first in the nomination order has the right to get McDavid no matter what, if they want him.
Yeah. So maybe early on, you nominate guys you want, and later on,
maybe it's not as important.
You push on that.
Yep.
Interesting.
Offer sheet league, kinda.
Yeah. 803-0550. Okay, the Twitter poll is the Bills and Devontae Adams. If the price is right, you decide what that is. We can't know what that is. Trading this, trading that, whatever. If the price is right, do you want to do it? And add him for a year as a rental and try and win the Super Bowl? Because the Bills, I think they can win the Super Bowl if things fall right for them. The injuries on defense, not exactly falling right. An injury to somebody important on offense might be a big problem. But right now, yay or nay for Devontae Adams. 70% say yay.
Okay.
Matt Harmon on Devontae Adams and what he is right now. There's one thing about this idea that is specific to the Bills. You know, you're going to see on all the debate shows, just watch Mike Greenberg rank the five landing spots for Davante Adams, and it was Cowboys, Steelers, Commanders, Jets, of course, and the Ravens were in there as well. The thing that it is for me is when we talked about an hour ago with Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, this is the whole point where you don't have to miss Stephon Diggs. You don't have to care about him at all. What the Bills do miss, though, is someone that lines up outside and gets attention, because Diggs pulled attention away from the middle of the field and gave Kincaid and Shakir operating room. And right now, until the Bills start to hit some things with Keon Coleman on the outside or somebody else on the outside, these teams will definitely be able to focus on the middle of the field and crowding the areas where Kincaid and Shakir work so well. So what would Davante Adams do for this offense? Again, I don't think the Bills are going to do this. I'm almost kind of like dismissing the idea. But of course, we'll talk about it. And if they did it, I would immediately be excited. Adams would draw tons of attention. Tons. And all of a sudden, Kincaid would get room to work.
Yeah, I do wonder. Like, that's Joe Marino with us last hour mentioned that since the Arizona game, teams are still paying a lot of attention to Dalton Kincaid. Like, they are efforting to take him away, which, if you're trying to get him to break out as a second-year player, like, it is undoubtedly harder if that is true. If teams are walking into every game saying, let's make sure they can't throw it to Kincaid. Let's take that away. And then you have to funnel that elsewhere. And in the Raven game, I wonder, we'll see. Does this become a trend? Maybe it doesn't. But if I'm a defense that watched Baltimore, don't I think Baltimore pretty much succeeded in, hey, we're going to make them throw to one-on-one matchups to Mac Hollins?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the goal? Isn't that exactly what you would want when you're going to play the Bills? Let's get them to throw it to Mac Hollins.
Right. The reason to have number one star gravity receiver is if that guy gets two people every play, now I'm playing 10-on-9. And if the opposite is true, that your boundary receivers, every single defense is like, yeah, go ahead. You take one, you take one. We're playing 9-on-9 now. We can focus on everybody else. And, of course, the quarterback, that's where Josh Allen's running, gives you an advantage in his sack avoidance and all that. But, right, what I'd love to funnel pass. If I'm a team playing the Bills, I want to funnel as many passes to the sidelines to Hollins and MVS, who barely sees the field, and Coleman until further notice.
Well, MVS sees the field. He doesn't get the ball.
That's right.
He doesn't get the ball thrown his way.
So Adams,
he's not open.
Matt Harmon, receptionperception.com. Last year, what did Davante Adams do?
Yeah.
He beat man coverage at the 85th percentile.
Okay, so amazing.
Great. Zone at the 90th.
Even better.
Press coverage at the 91st.
Even better.
Those are all drops for him. This is a point to make about Diggs, too. When you are someone who is the best there is, and then you drop 10%, you are still better than like 90% of the receivers in the league. And Davante Adams is still probably that. Better than most. Maybe not Justin Jefferson. Maybe not Nico Collins right now. But definitely would immediately be the best weapon the Bills have in their offense. I still don't think they're going to do it. From a cap standpoint, Mike Cianetti of SpotTrack said it is doable. Amari Cooper is doable as an idea. I've got a million tweets already about Davante Adams' attitude is something that Bills fans wouldn't want. I'm not sure what that attitude is. That attitude is he doesn't want to be with the Raiders anymore. Maybe he doesn't respect the coach, doesn't respect the direction. I've seen interviews where he wants to be a Hall of Famer. He wants to win Super Bowls. And sometimes if you're someone that wants that sort of greatness and you feel like you're on a team that doesn't offer you the chance to do that, you know, people will want you to shut your mouth and work through it. Shut up and get to work. And if you're a player on the inside, you might say, like, well, I don't actually want to do that. He went to the Raiders to play with Derek Carr, right? And then Derek Carr lasted a year.
1 year, and then it was Garoppolo who we saw miss him all the time.
And for what it's worth, what's Derek Carr doing right now?
He's playing great.
He's playing well.
Yeah.
So I went to play with this guy. You shot him to the moon, said he wasn't any good, and he goes somewhere else and succeeds, and like, wait a minute. I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening with Adams. I don't think the Bills are a real candidate for this. I just think they would wait.
Do you think they would be more like, there's drafting one, then that's ideal. easily. You hope Coleman just becomes it, or maybe they'll draft one next year. If they don't draft one, if they were to ever go outside and find their way to a receiver of this caliber, what do we think they would prefer? Would they prefer a Brandon Ayuk, a player of that age where, hey, if you're trading for him, guess what? It's coming with a monster contract. Long term. Like, yep, it is coming with a huge financial commitment. Or do they think future is bright? We like Coleman. We can draft more guys. Let's do this instead, because we don't have to give this guy 5 years, $20 million or $30 million a year.
Right.
Like, I'm almost wondering if they would even be a little more into the idea of the rental type receiver of this caliber than if they had an opportunity or the room to go get Ayuk and give the monster contract on top of it.
803-0550 if you want to chime in. 1-888-550-2550.
Let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills so you can enter now. WGR550.com. Chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs, which winter's coming not too long, maybe more than a month still. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 5th. TRS Heating and Air Conditioning and Electrical Excellence. Powering tomorrow, comforting today.
Hey, tune into the WGR 550 each Bills game day during the regular season for your chance to answer our tailgate trivia question presented by Game Day Hospitality. It's your chance to win two VIP tickets to Game Day Hospitality's Red Zone tailgate party. Tickets include food, drink, entertainment, and access to the VIP tent. Visit our contest page at WGR550.com for details. Jeremy and Joe, good Wednesday morning. Has stopped raining. Sun is out. Some clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Nice day out there.
So, I just mentioned this to you in the break. The NHL, I guess the reason, well, maybe they were going to talk about it anyway. The reason that Gary Bettman, who had a press conference yesterday before the season starts.
Who, by the way, estimates the cap's going to go up to $92
million. Yeah, he said it's going to go up $4.5 million
okay.
next year.
So, anybody saying the Sabres have to save money for their RFAs loses even more steam on that? They do not have to save money for their RFAs. They're fine.
Yep. He got the question, I guess, because I hadn't seen this list. List of players that have had serious injuries in the NHL preseason so far: Drew Doughty, Patrick Laine, Artemi Panarin, Tim Stützle, Brady Tkachuk, and number one overall pick Macklin Celebrini have all been hurt in the preseason. So Bettman got asked about it, shortening the preseason and expanding the regular season. He said specifically on an 84-game season that it's on the list of things to talk about at the next owner meetings. Expanding the regular season. It's only by 2 games, though.
Yeah.
Like, you asked me in the break, like, are they going to 90? They're not going to 90. They go to 84.
And just add the NBA play-in tournament format. Just steal it. Listen.
It really would be easy.
Why don't – the NFL did it. The NFL stole the XFL's kickoff. Like, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
It's better. We'll take yours. Go ahead, NHL. Just steal the NBA's play-in tournament.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great format.
Who did the wild card first? Because everyone's copied that, right?
The NFL.
They
and
did it first.
Baseball went to, like, aren't there, like, 15 wild card teams now? I mean, it used to
be. There used to be none, right?
Right. It used to be.
Baseball.
Am I right here? 4 teams made the baseball playoffs?
Two in each?
Yeah.
And that was it?
That was it.
Yeah.
There were 4 games yesterday.
Yeah. Yes, there were.
How recently was it that 4 teams made the MLB playoffs? Like 1992? 94? Four?
Not in my lifetime. Yeah, because it's before. I do not remember there ever being that few. Ever. Wild card is, I guess it is football. Yeah, 1970 is when it started. And then everybody just copied the term, right?
Yeah.
We all just copied football slowly. Maybe we have to wait multiple years before we put it in there. I don't know why the NHL would never not do it. It's more money for them. It's all they care about.
Major League Baseball's postseason. I'm finding out when they expanded the wild card. Yeah, until 1993, there were 2 rounds. Hold on, kids. Let Grandpa tell you a story. When 4 teams made the baseball playoffs. In 1993, is one of the years I remember, the Braves and the Giants finished the 2 best records in Major League Baseball. The Giants missed the postseason with 103 wins.
Wow.
In 1993.
See, that's... I don't like that.
Four teams made it.
I don't like that. I need playoffs because I can't have that.
You say that, but you like the Premier League where there are no playoffs.
I do, but I'm also say that as I am more into college football than ever before, and it is 100% because there are more playoff teams.
Right, the playoff. I feel like
Tennessee this week has a big game. I feel like it actually matters now.
Right, that's
whereas
true.
Last year I wouldn't have cared because I don't think they can get into the top four.
Today on ESPN they were talking about the first four out, and Yale was in the conversation
of the college football.
Yes,
playoff? Love that. You gotta love that.
All right, 803-0550 on Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper. You know, looking forward to the Houston game now. Bounce back opportunity for the Bills offense and defense. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.